This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander, and that right there is a man ready for some horse race.
Let's go!
Kelly Bidlin has donned the hat.
Derby Bidlin is here.
Where'd you get that hat? You look good in it.
I got a couple sweet hats at home, okay? I love Derby Week because I get to bust them out, okay? I forgot one. This one was just in my car.
You look good.
I was rocking this at the pool last week.
Were you really?
I swear to God it was, yeah.
That might not be a good look, but that looks good now as we talk horse racing. Let's bring in Chris Felica, who was kind enough to join us yesterday. He was on with us to talk Derby with Peter Fornital. We'll get back to the Derby here momentarily. Chris, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good. I got my goggles ready to go. I don't think I'm going to need more than one. Like Jerry Bailey showed me how great it is. How they like stack them that way. You pull off one at a time when you get kicked back in your face.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am ready to go. But Gil, I wanted to just congratulate you on your NBA rant before.
Thank you.
That was tremendous. And I want to follow up on that. If I ever hear we finally gotten to the point where people have finally gotten past the Clippers, and that's good. I don't want to hear about the Celtics or the Nuggets ever again.
Wow.
Like they got Jokic. He's the best player in the – they got nothing else. They're terrible. The Celtics, all they do is chuck up threes. I don't want to hear ever again about the Nuggets or the Celtics as serious title contenders.
I'm with you on the Celtics, even though I want them to get to the finals for my big ticket. So I'm rooting for them, but I am so with you just on the brand of basketball. Forget the fact that Mazzulla can't adjust out of it. He cannot impress upon these players to do anything different. But just the brand of basketball has lasted so many years to the point, and Kelly, I'll ask you on this, to the point that if they never win another championship, do we look back at the one that they did win and say, well, they just got this super easy path that one year, and so they were fortunate, but they're certainly not a team that we will remember in any way beyond that bit of fortune.
I think there's a really good chance.
Yeah.
I think there's a really good chance. I think where the question comes in, though, is I think you understand, and both this applies to both teams, right? Like, you can understand you win a championship and you get stuck in that way. And that's both teams, right? We were talking about the Nuggets before you hopped on, Chris. I'm like, yeah, it's taken one series, but I'm at the point of blow this whole roster up. You need to redesign this whole thing.
Yeah, I still like Denver. And because Jokic is such this amazing force, and it's pretty to watch him play basketball with all the passing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he didn't have a good game, Gobert was great. He deserves credit, you know, for his defense. I just view the Celtics. I'm with you, Chris, on the Celtics, where it's just this one-dimensional thing. It's like, let's stop with them. Let's stop with them. And again, there's a guy rooting for him.
And I heard your conversation about Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis were talking this morning about the Joel Embiid at whatever the number is to be NBA Finals MVP. And I can't quite see them, the Sixers winning, but I kind of dug around and was looking for bets for the show. And in theory, why can't they go to Boston and win whenever that game is? Win game seven. Why can't they beat the other dregs from the Eastern Conference? Like, you could find on DraftKings, I got 200-1 on Spurs over Sixers in the NBA final, 140-1 Thunder over Sixers in the NBA finals. Like, those are like good pizza money bets if you're looking to take a shot on something, if you think Embiid can keep his body intact for another about 10 games or so.
Yeah. I find myself nodding. I said the other day, I was like, when the Celtics were up 3-1, and again, a guy with the Celtics ticket to make it to the finals against the Spurs, I go, boy, it's a shame we couldn't see Embiid play the Celtics.
Right.
Now I'm regretting that comment. I'm like, oh, damn, I wish I hadn't said that.
And the only thing, I just want to be fair, gentlemen, because we said this off air. We could say the 76ers, they could win this game seven, get to the next round, and then Joel Embiid gets hurt in game three,
yeah,
and we're going to be like, it's the same old 76ers. Yeah. Why would we ever have trusted this team?
And, repeating what I said earlier, and the Celtics who win tomorrow by 30.
Yeah.
And I would not be shocked at all. Would not be shocked at all. All right, before we get to today's horse races, because Paul was just on, you have a Champions League play first in soccer?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I play Atletico Madrid plus 245 to advance in the tie against Arsenal. They were the better side on Wednesday in that first leg. I know it was at the Wanda Metropolitano, which will always have a warm place in my heart, where Liverpool won the Champions League in 2019. But Atleti was a better side. They were very unfortunate to not get a better result there. And Arsenal just looked non-threatening, sluggish, especially in the second half. And Paul alluded to the Premier League race right there. Like, it's a bad stretch for Arsenal. Like, you got that match on Wednesday that they played on Wednesday. Now you have a match against Fulham, which you have to win because City is right there in the Prem. And then on Tuesday you got to turn around and face Atleti, who they've been out of Spain and out of the other. Nothing has mattered domestically for them for a while, so they can kind of throw all their eggs in the basket. And it's not like Arsenal's going to come out and really threaten and attack and put up a bunch of goals. I think Atleti's got a great chance to go into Arsenal at the Emirates and win and get a result and move on in advance. And I think plus 245 is a really good price.
Plus 245 in the Champions League game on Tuesday between Atletico Madrid plus 245 to advance versus Arsenal. That is Tuesday. Okay, let's talk about the horse races today, Friday at Churchill Downs, including the Kentucky Oaks race, pardon me, which is later in the day. But let's start with these in chronological order. What do you got?
Yeah, I think the third race of the day, which is not a stakes race, it's not any special race. It's a little first level allowance race, and I really like the number 10 horse Star Actress in here. She's 4-1. She's a 3-year-old for Bill Mott, who she has faced a bunch of good horses in her previous races, including a horse named Zany, who is among the contenders in the Kentucky Oaks. So I like her quite a bit. She comes out of the Ashland Percy's Bar and Zany, like I said, were both there. Second race versus winners. I think she figures really, really strongly here at a good price, and hopefully we'll get close to 4-1 on her. The La Troyenne later today as well. I really like the number 9 horse, Fully Subscribed, who is 7-2. It is a bet against Shred the Gnar, who is the favorite in that race, who did not look very good in her first race off of a layoff. Didn't fire at all. Did she just need the race, or is something wrong? And there's a little bit more speed signed on into that race. So I think Fully Subscribed kind of sits the trip there and wins that race. If you look at the Edgewood turf race for a 3-year-old, Just Aloof, the 5 horse, is 8-1. Not sure if we're going to get 8-1 because of the connections involved in this horse. Kind of stuck down on the inside at Keeneland, really, really didn't have much late, but I think off of that race, Just Aloof is very eligible to improve here. And if we get 6-1 or so, I'll be happy with that, but I'm really curious to see how the board treats Just Aloof. And then the Kentucky Oaks, kind of hit on it a little bit yesterday with Peter. I do like the number 5 horse, Meaning. I think she is just sitting on a monster race. I love her progression. I love her trainer, Michael McCarthy, who wound up winning the Preakness last year with Journalism, ran second in both the Belmont and the Kentucky Derby last year. I think she is a monster. I think she wins the Oaks. I would probably be looking at boxing her in Exacta with the 1 Explorer, the number 4 Counting Stars, and then the number 10 Prom Queen. Those are the 4 horses I feel best about there, but I'll definitely be betting Meaning with both fists win in place.
Meaning to win the 5 horse in today's Kentucky Oaks at 8-1. I feel bad because Peter Fornatel, who was kind enough to join us yesterday, is not here to sort of get the point counterpoint on this, so I feel like we're talking behind his back. But he liked Zany in the Kentucky Oaks. Why don't you?
The reports out of
Man, we lost Chris. Oh, we'll try to reboot Chris as to why he is. But anyway, Zany is not involved in any of his Kentucky Oaks. Let's review these, by the way.
I'm gonna guess the reports were negative.
We're gonna find out. I can't wait to find out. Today, these are the races today at Churchill Downs. Race number 3, He's on the number 10 horse Star Actress to win at 4-1. La Troenne, that race, he's on the number 9 horse Fully Subscribed to win at 7-2. Edgewood, he's on the number 5 horse Just Aloof to win at 8-1. And then in the Oaks today, the Kentucky Oaks, the number 5 horse Meaning to Win at 8-1. Kelly, I am going to play some of these, if not all of these.
All right, I like it.
I'm gonna bet some horses.
It's a great afternoon, an afternoon of just betting horse racing is fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm gonna get there today, but I will be tomorrow, that's for sure.
Did we say we have Chris back? Is that what I told? Is it?
We do.
Chris Felica, why not Zany?
Sorry about that. That's all right. I've heard from the reports from the tribe that Zany is not doing great. We talked about the other Micropoli, Todd Pletcher horse, and the Derby Renegade having some feet problems. Supposedly she's got some kind of feet and soundness issues as well, and she's going to be shot up with some kind of protective shoes as well. So I'll be you can't bet them all, and in races like this on big days, you need to take a stand against certain horses, and I will be standing against Zany.
Where do you take all of this in? Where do you watch?
Home. I will be home. It's going to be great. I will have I'll have my laptop up. I will be firing away on my computer. I'll be sitting in the downstairs room on the big screen, just watching all the races there. And yeah, I don't have to worry about weather. I don't have to worry about concession lines. I don't have to worry about bathroom lines. I can do what I want, when I want. It'll be great. It's great to be there with friends, but it's also great to be there and not have to worry about running low on money and ATM fees and betting lines. I just got everything right in front of me.
All right. Well, he's not going to start his day yet. He's coming back. Chris is. He'll give us all of his non-Derby picks for tomorrow, and then we'll get back to the Derby because he's got more to say about that and some adjusted baseball season win totals as well thrown in. Numbers Game, VSiN, coming back. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Can I interest you in a VSiN Pro discounted annual subscription? That's right, I said discounted. How about 14 months for promo code PRO? Just use the promo code PRO. You get 14 months, $199. That's it for 14 months. I'm doing the math. That's a year plus two additional months, Kelly, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's correct. Daily best bets from VSiN experts, real-time betting splits, AI-powered props and matchup tools, 24-7 live video and full show replays, all of our betting guides, all of them. Talking pro football, college football, everything between now and then, March Madness, baseball, you get the idea. VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code PRO for 14 months of your VSiN Pro discounted annual subscription at $199. Chris Felica is kind enough to join us again. The Bear from Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A. He's got the Bear Bets podcast over there, which he does in multiple forms. Where are we now with the Bear Bets? But by the way, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Oh, he's got a hat now, too. Look at this guy.
Kelly made me feel bad, and Peter made me feel bad from yesterday. So I got to get this hat that really doesn't fit me very well on my big 7 5/8 or 7 3/4 head, but throw it on top of there.
What was that cartoon character we saw as kids that had this kind of look?
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
I don't know the guy's name.
I don't know the name. Yeah. Someone will know. Before we launch back into horse racing, can you give us you have a few baseball adjusted season win totals?
Yeah, I played the Royals under 77.5.
I like that.
I think they are a bad baseball team.
Me too.
And if they go over, I'll fine. Congratulations. I'll take my hat off to them. But everyone was so high on the Royals coming into the year. Oh, they're moving the fences in and Pasquantino and Italy and World Baseball Classic and Caglione coming up and Bobby Witt could be the MVP. But Reagan's hasn't been great. Bubich hasn't been great. The team with a lot of holes. So under 77.5. I took the Reds. Now that it's no longer April Hill, I can kind of root against the Reds.
I like it. Thank you.
I went under 84.5. I think this is kind of a peak time a number where you can kind of go under here. I think they're decent, but again, some of the metrics there with the one run wins and things, you would think that that'll kind of even out a little bit as the season goes on. So under 84.5 and the Phillies, I think again, good time now off of a couple of wins. Manager got fired. Donnie Baseball's the manager now. Again, that doesn't solve the holes in their lineup. Certainly the bottom of the lineup, the holes in their pitching staff. Under 82.5 for the Phillies as well.
All right, Royals, Reds, Phillies, all the adjusted season win total unders that you see on the screen right there. All right, back to Churchill Downs. You gave us four plays today in four different races. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the non-derby picks for tomorrow.
Yeah, I got three of them. In the turf sprint, there's a horse named Litigation who I have actually given out on this show before and won it at a nice number for us earlier right. in the year. So yeah. I went back to Litigation, 3-1. Again, I just think this horse is a great turf sprinter. Bad trip at Keeneland last time out, and I think she should better here. The Distaff Turf Mile, the number four horse, Temptable, is 8-1. Again, I don't know if we're going to get 8-1 on this horse, but the horse has been with Belmont since Del Mar coming over from Europe. So he's been here the entire summer. I don't know if that was the best company she kept over in Europe, but she's probably not going to have to be great to beat this field here. I think she could be very, very dangerous at or near the lead. And then in the American turf, I like the number seven, Alpiland, who is 8-1, gotten better with distance. And I think the number 10 horse, Vassy, is live as well. So those are three for you for tomorrow. And I want to sneak in one that I didn't pass along to you because I noticed it after I sent along. And again, this may not be available everywhere. You might have to search for it. And I was able to find one PPH that had it. There is and this is not normally something that I would play, but there was a prop up Derby. The winning Derby horse's name will begin with the first letter A through H.
Oh, wow.
I think that is the best bet that I have found in the Derby so far, because you get Commandment, you get Chief Wallaby, you get Emerging Market, you get Further Ado, and you get Denon Bourbon, who a lot of people like the Japanese Invader. Like, you get all of those, and basically the only way you can lose. You can lose if I'm wrong about Renegade, and I don't think he wins, or if an outside bomber long shot like a Patente or the Puma, who's a massive underlay and so happy he was a massive underlay, one of those wins. But if you give me Commandment, Chief Wallaby, Emerging Market, Further Ado, and the best Japanese horse that someone like Paul Matias, who Crack gave out yesterday,
yeah,
like that was -145. I wish I was able to get more money down on that, but if you could find that somewhere, that's two fists in the window.
Where, by the way, where did you find that? Do you remember?
I found that at one of the PPHs, okay, that one of my buddies had asked.
Okay. -145. That's a hell of a price on that. That's the first time we've ever given out a partial alphabet play in the Kentucky Derby.
Because I've been looking for head to heads, and I haven't seen any head to heads posted yet.
Yeah.
And I saw Kentucky Derby props, and you look at it, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, there's no head to heads, but they had that. So
interesting. Fezzik, I know, wants to talk about head to heads in the Derby, because I haven't seen a bunch of them either.
Yeah, neither have I, Chris. And I was like betting those. Do you have a short list of horses you're looking to specifically fade in those?
Oh yeah, I'm looking to fade Renegade in any head to head that I can get. And I think the good thing about that is, being that he is one of the favorites in the races, you're going to get him in head to heads against the Chief Wallabies, the Further Ados, the Emerging Markets, the Commandments, like the other favorite horses who I think are going to beat him. Because again, I don't think Renegade's coming in here in good form. The combination of his feet and the rally's going to be up against it. So I'm going to be looking to fade Renegade, and I just want to see who are some of the matchups with maybe So Happy as well is another horse that I'll probably be looking to fade.
All right, before you go, let's talk about this. We briefly touched on this off air after you were on yesterday, which is this notion of better versus handicapper as it relates to the Puma, among other horses. What do you have on this?
Yeah, it's interesting because as in sports betting in general, we're always looking for closing line value. We're like trying to beat the closing number. And it's a little, it applies somewhat in horse racing, but I'm not sure it's like the end all. Like if you're handicapping the race and you think a horse figures on paper, and in the Kentucky Derby, like the Puma is the perfect example for this. He fits on paper. He's run well. He's won the Tampa Bay Derby. He beat Further Ado. Almost won the Florida Derby. He's been great. He's going to sit the trip. Like, he fits on paper. However, these rumors about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce either owning part of the horse now or going to be there or making a wager on the horse, like, it's going to bring the price down on this horse. And I think the horse actually got bet down to, like, 6-1. Right now, like in the live betting from where he was. So like, are you willing to take an underlaid price at like 6-1 on a horse that was 10-1? Because I mean, the horse doesn't know that it's getting bet. Like the horse is going to run its race. And if you think the horse fits on paper, do you take it? And I think the way horse wagering and parimutuel wagering goes, like you can put the horse in an exacta. You can bet the horse place and show. You can put the horse in a try. So, like, I think in with the exotics that you can play, that the fact that you're not necessarily getting the 10-1 maybe not be the biggest deal. And then in this weekend in general, like, again, handicapper versus better, when it matches up and it lines up and you get the perfect storm of, again, I will use an example today in the Kentucky Oaks. Lovely Gray, Dave Portnoy, who I am friends with, my colleague on Big Noon Kickoff. I'm ecstatic that his horse is in the race for him. Enjoy the walkover. Enjoy the day. He's done so much for horse racing in terms of an owner and a better. But his horse is overmatched in there. But he has such a massive social media following that all of his stoolies are going to bet on this horse. And the horse was 30-1 in the morning line, got bet down to 6-1. Like the meaning the horse that I gave out is a longer price right now than Lovely Gray is. And when you get that public money on a horse that you don't want to bet and really doesn't have a chance to win, and you get better prices on horses that factor in, that just makes a better like myself or Mike Somich or Marco and like our eyes light up when we get better prices than we ever could have expected on legit contenders.
I do worry about that sometimes, just between us and the lamppost. I do worry about that Somich with a superfecta, right? Like, and he's giving out a new one this year, that's going to be enough of a groundswell of support that the value is going to be taken out of it in a parimutuel field, right? Like, so there is that quirk with this kind of betting as well. Okay, I'm sorry.
But there's so much money. There's so much money in the pool.
Yeah.
On days like this, and this is we could talk forever about CRWs and wagering algorithms. On weekends like this, the big stakes races, you don't notice it as much. So this is about as fair of a shake, I think, as a better as we could get this weekend.
I believe Marco D'Angelo used to say a lot of dumb money today and tomorrow specifically. Chris, enjoy. Thank you so much. Chris Velika, everybody, from Fox Sports. Drew Densick and Stormy next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Smarter bets start here and last all year long with VSiN Pro for a limited time. Get our annual subscription, only $240 for just $199. I mentioned that moments ago. But the other thing that you should know about is this offer right here at Racetrack Television Network. You can get 5 days free using promo code VSIN, live streaming and replays at RTN.TV. Figuring out where folks are watching their horse races. Mm-hmm. Racetrack Television Network, RTN.TV. 5 days free, live streaming and replays, promo code VSIN. We get tweets beating the book. Always appreciate it. Jason H11, Monday's headline, Coach of the Year fired after losing in the first round of the Sixers. Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I hope it's that.
That would be awesome.
I have tickets to cash, so hopefully, we could trash him all he wants after he wins that award.
Awesome just in a sports history way, not for the Missoula family, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Tronsky, hey, Gil, everyone jumping at center for the French Open needs to realize what he's trying to do here. Sunshine double, Monte Carlo, Madrid, nearly there. Then Rome, his home country, then 7 matches in best of 5 at Roland Garros. That is a historical hill to climb. -150, no thanks. Well, it could have had him at -120. We were talking.
I don't think you can have him at 150 anymore.
No, I don't think so either. Uncle Bush, dearest Gilliam of the Alexanders, I hope this tweet finds you in good grace and favor. Will you be bestowing upon us a pot of the mega variety regarding the circumstances and duels scheduled for battle for Roland Garros? Regards to your kingdom of ANG. Thank you, Uncle Bush. That's very nice of you.
Yes. I would prefer all tweets sent in this way.
That would be fantastic.
Going forward, that would be nice.
Yes, yeah. There will be a French Open pot, I believe is the answer to that question, if I'm not mistaken. Rhodes knows, is 35-1 for Embiid Eastern Conference MVP a bet you would make also, or bet both? I prefer the NBA Finals one, just because it's a seven-game max stretch, and it's a way longer number. So as long as we're doing this, just go with the crazy
number.
Getting
cute, yeah. Let's get real cute.
Roger Jones, on a side note, we did find out yesterday something the bear will not bet. Arabian horse race, disgruntled. I love it. That's something he will not bet. And then Tony Hernandez, he didn't like Drew's hat. We're going to find out what hat Drew is wearing.
He had a video this morning.
He sent the old Caddyshack clip where Chevy Chase Destroy just murders Rodney Dangerfield's hat. And he goes, but looks good on you, though. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think she's wearing a hat, but she will wear her hat tonight in terms of her job. At the Mammoth Golden Knights Game 6 in Utah, she is in Salt Lake City right now. It's our own Stormy Bonatoni, the co-host of Money Moves, of course, each and every Monday through Friday on this network. She comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Stormy, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I was actually very curious, Kelly, when you took your hat off, did you have to recomb the hair? Was that part of the process?
I did a little bit of that, you know, just brushed the fingers through it and I was good to go. Yeah. The hat's coming back for Drew, so I need to give the hair a breather.
Okay.
I'm
kind of ashamed I don't have a hat today. So, Gil, thank you. I appreciate it. Yes, I'll wear the reporter hat today. We'll play that game.
Yeah, that's right, the reporter hat. That's what I was going for. I couldn't quite get there.
It was an almost smooth transition, yeah.
And by the way, I said this to you off air, but thanks for responding to Kelly's email and accepting. I know you did it in person, but still a response. Thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Only emails for you, Stormy. That's our policy at a certain hour.
Appreciate you guys having me. And Kelly, feel free to text me anytime. I like to think we're friends. I didn't know that you thought that there was this professional line crossing by you texting me early in the morning.
I just didn't want to wake you up. I'm trying to respect people's sleep, okay? As someone who likes his sleep respected, maybe a little too much earlier this week.
The lady the lady seems offended, Kelly.
That's what I know, apparently. I'm sorry.
I just thought we were closer than that, Kelly. That's all.
Wow. All right, Stormy. This series, you have seen every second of this. You've been great, by the way, covering this as well. We all enjoy seeing you on this. But the Golden Knights, up 3-2 in this best of seven series against the Utah Mammoth. How has this happened? Like, this feels like this could be over. Utah could have won this series already, and yet somehow the Golden Knights, with the dramatic comebacks, some more dramatic than others even, are up 3-2 in this series. And tonight, game six, Utah trying to stave off elimination. It's a basic coin flip. What about this series? How have you seen it so far, and how do you feel about tonight?
I feel like it's going to be a coin flip once again tonight. Utah is going to do everything they can to try to force another game seven. They've been in position, you said it, to win so many of these games. And I'm sure by now everybody's seen that OptiStats tweet that has gone out. But the fact that Vegas has trailed in the third period in all five games this series, and the 28 other teams that have been in that same situation had they already lost their series through five games or been down in it, is such a testament to what Vegas has been able to do here coming out on top. I mean, the game that I worked, game four here in Utah, where they get out to this 3-0 lead, they give up four unanswered, then they tie it, then they win in overtime, and then they're down with a minute to go. And then here's Pavel Dorofeev, and they score and force overtime and win. They've played essentially with the overtimes in these last two games, almost an entire extra game in this series. It's been fun. It's been back and forth. I haven't known what I was going to get on a given night, but I think, and I'm curious if you guys agree, what has shown up for me in Vegas is the experience element and the killer instinct late in these games. And I know Utah's head coach Andre Tourney has tried to kind of bring down the narrative of youth versus experience a little bit. But in these last couple games and the gotta have it moments, it feels like that cup experience and the veteran nature of this group has gotten the better of Utah.
Well, you know what? It's so funny you bring that up, Stormy, because I hate to say it, the valet where I live, John, not the Arsenal fan.
No, Arsenal fan got fired.
Right. He crashed a couple cars. John, when I came home yesterday, he's a huge Golden Knights fan. It's the very thing he said, Stormy. He goes, Gil, you just got to chalk it up to experience. That experience came through. And I question, as a guy who is not watching as much hockey as he is, because he's like super hockey fan, I said, is that really a thing? Like, do you really chalk it up to that? Or is it just the bounce of the puck happened to go their way? I guess you kind of have to say part of its experience, but do you buy into that?
I think it's a little bit of a combo, because if you look at some of the metrics, right, like especially 5-on-5, in so many areas, Utah has outplayed Vegas. They just eye test look a lot faster. But then an area like special teams, for example, where Vegas was complaining about how bad they were, and then the bulk of the series, they have more shorthanded goals now than Utah has power play goals. Like, they're outscoring Utah on Utah's own man advantage. Like, that to me shows killer instinct. Coming up in the clutch late in games in overtime shows a comfort in being in that position before to be able to elevate in moments. So I think there's a layer to it. Do I think that's the end all be all? And is hockey a crazy sport? Like, that's a different story. Yes, there are going to be puck bounces. They call it puck luck for a reason. But honestly, like, sometimes the team that deserves it or finds a way gets that extra bounce when they need it.
Winner of this series will play Anaheim, which got by Edmonton last night. Do you feel, as someone who has watched the Golden Knights and all their iterations through the years, from a Stanley Cup champ to a Stanley Cup finalist, all of these years, do you feel like this Golden Knights team, if they're able to get through this series with the Mammoth, can get through Anaheim? Do you feel like, and here's the real question, if they end up taking on Colorado, let's say all that goes well, in a Western Conference final, do you feel like they can overcome in a best of seven there?
Vegas fans are going to hate, especially as someone who is born and raised in the town and previously worked for the team. I would find it hard to believe that they could win in a Western Conference final against anybody who comes out of the Central, whether it's the Wild or the Colorado Avalanche in that spot. I do like their chances against Anaheim, however, if that ends up being the matchup. The Ducks were just such a surprise to me, period, that they were able to show up. Like, I pre-series thought Edmonton was going to win this thing, no problem. Like, I loved laying 1.5 games in the series. I thought you could probably even feel good about laying 2.5 games. And then, especially the way the Ducks closed out the regular season, they lost like 8 of the last 10. They were struggling all over the place. And then they just put up this type of a performance. Vegas can play defense, which I know sounds rich coming off of back-to-back 5-4 overtime games, but they can defend Carr better in net than he's shown in some of these recent moments. That I think that matchup with Anaheim is favorable and they would get out of that, but I don't see it.
Okay. Don't mean to get you in trouble with Vegas, with everybody here in
town.
Yeah,
thanks. I have to go talk to John Tortorella in 2 hours and you're making me look bad.
He's going to be like, I heard you earlier on that show. You can't fool me, Stormy. Okay, and then real quick, how many teams do you think can actually win the Cup and who are they? Avalanche and who else?
I think anyone who gets out of Tampa, Montreal, capable. The Canes are good enough, but they just let me down year after year after year after year. So will they actually do it? I don't know. And whoever comes out of the Central. So I would say probably 4.
Okay. Last question, and this is just for me out of curiosity. You're doing this game. You do it for college football as well. I'm just curious from a broadcast perspective because I don't know the answer. Do you have scheduled break-ins to games, or do you alert them, I got something to say? Not the halftime stuff. I'm talking about during the games themselves.
During the game, I alert them. The only set hit I have is in the first period, either the under 16 or under 14. They put me on camera to just be like, look, she's here. She's a person. We'll put her on the TV. And then after that, it's all like I pitch stories about the game.
And how many of those can you get away with before they're like, Stormy just wants to be on camera too much? How many of those do you get?
She's like, get out of here, Stormy. Yeah, it's pretty generous, I'll say.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you not only there tonight, but all the time on Money Moves. Thank you, Stormy. Appreciate it. Stormy Bonatoni. Sorry about a little audio jankiness there. Okay, we got most of it. Yeah. Drew Dinsick from Churchill Downs next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game, un partido de números. Live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin right there, everybody. Back on with the hat.
That's right.
That means Drew is standing by. Let me read through some tweets. These are all, I think every one of these is horse related. Chris Heath, fixed number on meaning is 5.5 to 1. Will it close lower than that? Oh, we wanted to ask Velika. Maybe we'll ask Drew the same.
We should just answer these things like we know.
Like you and I know.
Yeah, obviously, it's going to be shorter than that, clearly.
Chance Copperpot, I rarely bet my team to do something positive, but I took your May bet, Gilly, on the Mariners 11-1. By the way, did you know pure maple syrup contains a unique polyphenol molecule named Quebecol created during the boiling process? Did not know that. Hashtag 22 tweets about maple syrup. JSA723, the sheer talent watching the Fee-Sinner match was mesmerizing. Sinner still wins it in straight sets, though. BP Futures bet. Gil, can you ask Velika who he likes in the Turf Classic? Thanks. Well, he had his bets, non-Derby bets. The Turf Classic was not among them, so I don't think he's betting the Turf Classic. Sorry, I didn't get to that specifically. Maybe Drew has a bet on that. Scott, breaking news. We just had a scratch in the Kentucky Derby. Is that true? I know Full Effort got scratched, but that wasn't just now. Is he just messing around? And then Nemo, Ryan's voice. I've just finished all the Derby content on the internet. Turns out every horse can win, and all combos for other bets are viable. Good luck, everyone. I think a lot of people feel that way about the horse.
Well, it is the, like Matt Brown always brings this up with UFC, right? When he was covering the UFC, it's like, hey, if you go talk to trainers and stuff about how their fighters look, and guess what? No one's ever going to say, it doesn't look good.
That's
right. Everybody looks great. They're the best shape they've ever been in.
Two more real quick. Velika bet available at Cool Bet, according to Roger Jones. And then Rhodes Nose says, can you give the horse again that Crack Friend suggested yesterday? Thanks, guys. Great show. Talking about Paul Matias. He gave out Dannon Bourbon. Dannon Bourbon, the number 7 horse. Mm-hmm. Without further ado, this is going to be a surprise to me because I haven't laid eyes on him yet either, so I can't wait to see this shot. Drew Dinsick, our buddy, Whale _ Capper, live from Churchill Downs now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, joining us now on a numbers game. Look at this kid.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this guy.
Oh, look at that vest.
Look at this. Wow.
Is that a fur vest?
Yeah,
No,
it looked like that. Yeah,
no, I got it too. Yeah. I got a wool coat on because it's like 40-something degrees out here. This is very unusual Derby weather. Usually it's either pouring rain or sweltering hot. This is the first time I've ever been here, and it's like a crisp, expecting like a high of 58 today. So
wow.
Awesome day for horse racing.
Wow. Okay. Drew, you're the man on, you said boots on the ground. You now have boots on the ground.
Yeah, buddy.
What have you learned and what are you betting?
Kelly, let's do a side bet, Kelly. Do you think Gil knows he made a Kentucky Derby pun in the open there?
Oh.
He said, without further ado,
I was going to say, I don't know, Drew.
you know who's superfecta is going to be without further ado? Yeah. This guy. Not playing further ado in this year's edition of the Kentucky Derby, despite the fact that he'd be wearing 18 and breaking from gate 16, which, of course, was your winning combination for sovereignty last year. I think further ado, he's due for a bounce. And I don't think he repeats what we saw from him at the Bluegrass. He's a toss especially because he's getting bet. He'll close short.
Well done. You're already off to a fantastic
start.
This
is like Larry coming back from vacation on Monday. Would you put Dinsick out where he wants to be? Just, man, the energy that you get. Wow.
Next lifetime, I would like to come back as Drew.
Me too.
Dinsick.
I love it.
Yeah. Me too.
Boots on the ground so far have been super valuable. I ran into Bill and Jordan last night at dinner. That's, of course, Bill Belichick. On the backside, in the morning workouts, that we've been collecting a lot of data. I've been snapping some photos and sending them to people like, oh, boy, this horse doesn't look good. What's going on here? Oh, Todd Pletcher, he's on a heated phone call. Like, what do we think's going on here? But ultimately, none of the kind of backside information has been actionable in terms of who to avoid. For the Derby, that is, the Oaks, there were a couple of clear, question marks for me, notably the, morning line favorite, Zany, looks a little problematic. I don't think she should have been the favorite. She's not going to go off as the favorite. And then Prom Queen, weirdly, like Brad Cox got her up at 5:30 this morning to do kind of a workout under the cloak of darkness, as opposed to, and why you would do that on Oaks Day was also a little weird. She didn't work out, but she was galloping around. It's kind of unusual to be doing that on the day of the race. Similarly, Commandment was the only Derby horse that was not like in the parade this morning. They clear the track from 7:15 to 7:30 for Derby and Oaks horses only. And every other Derby runner was out either schooling or galloping just to kind of get their legs loose. Didn't see Commandment. Commandment also, Brad Cox brought him out in the cloak of darkness at 5:30 in the morning. So a little unusual for Commandment, a little unusual for Prom Queen, a little surprising. We saw Zany stretching her legs today. So those are the horses with question marks from me on the backside. The big kind of 50-50 was, are the vets going to allow Renegade to run? He, of course, was the Derby morning line favorite. It looks like he will run from what we're being told. There was no official scratch of Renegade. Unless the vets find something late and call him off, he's going to be in the field. I still don't think he has much of a chance. There's like a dozen reasons to be against Renegade, especially at this price. And that makes betting the Derby pretty fun, because I think you're going to get a horse that's kind of in the 8 to 15 to 1 range come across the line, and it's going to be a solid score. So I don't think you have to put together kind of the perfect superfecta this year to be a pretty healthy winner in the Kentucky Derby.
All right. So tell us what you, at least now at this moment, are betting or planning on betting today and tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm pretty much all in on Chief Wallaby for the Derby. I think he's the best horse in this field. Everything I've seen from him, boots on the ground, everything I've heard from the grooms, from the people who have, the clockers, if you will, they're all extremely impressed with how he looks. He's presumably taken a step forward from what was an interesting Florida Derby. I think if you want to watch one race, prep race, to kind of be prepared for what to expect in the Kentucky Derby, watch the Florida Derby. That was the best class of horses coming into this field by margin. And they ran a close race. And then watch beyond just the bob at the finish, because that's getting all the attention. Commandment got the Puma with the bob right at the line. Wallaby ran third. But watch what happens after. Like, look how much more race Wallaby had in him in that Florida Derby, and then tell yourself, none of these horses have ever run a mile and a quarter. You need a horse who wants the extra distance. Wallaby looks like that horse to me. He's running with blinkers on, and a lot of people are kind of pointing to the equipment change is a bad omen for horses running in the Derby. Look what happened to Palace Malice, blah, blah, blah. Like, guess what, guys? If last year's Derby winning trainer, Bill Mott, and one of the most experienced trainers in the game, if he thinks Chief Wallaby will run his best race with blinkers on, guess what I think? I think Chief Wallaby will run his best race with blinkers on. Yeah. So I really am not second guessing that decision. And I really think he's going to kick ass tomorrow. So he's on top for me. I know you mentioned Dan and Bourbon in the open. There are two true wild cards in this field. Dan and Bourbon is one of them, because the data from him is so suspect, because he's only run against, the Japanese kind of B, C tier horses. So how he handles the trip, the trip as in the ship, and how he, able to compete against a really talented field is a question mark. He could run first. He could run last. I honestly don't know what to do with him. The other kind of wild card is Potente, the 14. Baffert's getting no attention in this race. His horse Potente might go off at like 25 to 1, which is seemingly unheard of. If you look at the bloodlines, Potente is an Into Mischief colt. The Into Mischief is like the most productive sire by margin over the last 6 years in American thoroughbred racing. He was a $2.4 million purchase. He's only won $200,000 in his career to this point, so he's been a massive disappointment. Some might say Potente has not lived up to his potential, but I don't know that he'll run a good race on Saturday, but I have I've been trying to keep my ear to the ground to see if that is a potential getaway price that you might need to cover some of your exotics with, just because, like, if he goes off a 25 to 1 and he is every bit as his pedigree says he is, he might ultimately be in the mix. If you want like a little bit of commentary on the shape of the race, there was a scratch today. It was Right to Party, number 5. He is another deep closer. So if you're keeping track, we have lost 3 deep closers so far in the 3 scratches of Silent Tactic, Right to Party, and Full Effort. These were all horses that had the potential to clean up some mess and hit the board at a big price if you were playing a super. They're all out there. And so we're kind of running out of closers here. And they've been replaced by Great White, who is an early speed horse who has no shot. Ocelli, who ran 3rd in the Wood Memorial and honestly should just be happy to be here. He might go off at like 99 to 1. I wouldn't be surprised. He has like he's never broken his maiden. I don't know how he's winning this race. Good luck, buddy. And then Robusta drew in with a scratch of Right to Party. He's another early speed horse. And when you draw in, they put you in the outside gates and they move everybody else in. So Renegade is still stuck in the 1. And all of this early speed is on the outside of Full Effort. I think that's going to cause a problem for him, as he's not going to have a clean break. And he is going to have 4 or 5 horses that are trying to get the lead coming from his inside and his outside. So Further Ado, I think, is in a bad spot beyond just the likelihood of a bounce from him. You know, that kind of leads us back to our three Florida horses. This could just be a rerun of the Florida Derby. I, again, think Wallaby is the best of that group. I think he has wants this distance the most, and I think he's going to make us all super happy. Not so happy, but super happy on Saturday.
Drew, you are the best.
Yeah,
that
man.
Was awesome. 5 seconds. Do you have are you betting on a horse at the
Yes.
Oaks today?
Yeah, I wanted the 9 horse, but apparently the word got out and that's gotten bet to obliterated price, meaning the 5 right now is drifting, looking like 8-1 for meaning. That's the pick in the Oaks.
Meaning. Thank you, Drew. Enjoy.